This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Recently, the New York Times reported the story of a former Navy pilot from Windham, New Hampshire, who, while on a routine training mission, saw something strange that he could not identify. It was an aircraft, he thought, a 40-foot-long oval, and it was a UFO, an unidentified flying object. But was it a being from another planet? Granite geek David Brooks says probably not, and he's here to talk about why. David, welcome back.
Always glad to be here.
And why not?
So you have this guy's story.
And many other stories like it.
And many other stories like it. And for each one of them, you have a choice. You have a choice between believing that some incredibly astonishing, fantastic thing has happened. And think about it. A civilization has taken these staggering amounts of energy and effort necessary to cross interstellar space in order to play peekaboo in the clouds. That's one choice. The other choice is something happens that you see every single day, which is a person didn't understand or misunderstood what they saw or doesn't remember it correctly. So you have a choice between this incredibly fantastic explanation and an incredibly prosaic explanation. Of course you're going to go with the prosaic one. You'd be a fool not to, unless there's overwhelming evidence, more than, you know, a blurry photo or something like that.
Well, a lot of these people say, I know you would say that, but I saw what I saw.
What I saw
was something weird that could not have existed here. And that's a human brain thing, right?
So when you and I say, I know what I saw, what that is actually saying is, I know what I think I saw. I know what I think I saw. But that doesn't mean that it actually is what you saw. And the explanation I will always fall back on is that we are fallible beings. Our brains create patterns where patterns do not exist. Our eyes are designed. We have, you know, a lifetime's experience of seeing certain things. And when something unusual happens, we try to fit it into those old patterns. And so you absolutely have to assume that people are wrong until you have overwhelming evidence when you're talking about something as extraordinary as beings from another planet.
Mm-hmm. The example we used at the outset was that of a pilot seeing something while he's out flying.
Right.
And that's actually fairly common. And one of the things that you found in your report, David, was that a lot of people mistake the planet Venus for a UFO. Why is that?
Well, it's a bright light in the sky, and it's extremely bright. It's brighter than you think, particularly when you're flying. And if you're not expecting it, you can think that it's closer than it is. You can think that the relative motion of your head and your plane is actually being seen as absolute motion of the object at a distance. It's hard to scoff at reports from trained pilots. In my column, I talk about how, you know, I know a pilot who was a military pilot, had, you know, thousands of hours of experience. He saw what he thought was a UFO, was just about to radio it in, and realized it was Venus. He says that happens a lot, and you can go in and you can find a lot of these reports that later on the pilots will go in and say, and file a follow-up saying, I was mistaken, it was this light, it was that light, and I just was momentarily disoriented. But nobody ever reports on those follow-ups because they're not cool.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will take issue with here with respect to this, the crashing and burning of all my dreams and hopes that the truth is out there. And one is that, you know, evidence of the observable world is the basis for scientific research, right?
Sure.
And so we are seeing these things. You could see the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot or an alien aircraft. And what we've been saying is, well, you didn't see what you thought you saw because of it's just so much more likely that you just were wrong.
Right.
But, you know, in other words, are we cherry picking which observations of the natural world we can graduate to a proven scientific thing and then taking this category of others and just saying, nope, no way?
This is the whole idea of reproducibility in science. This is why that is really kind of the essence of all of science, is that we're all capable of fooling ourselves. And so we need to be able to have other people come in and see whether we've fooled ourselves on any particular observation of any particular kind, something you saw, something you measured, something you sampled. And the trouble with UFO reports is they're, of course, never reproducible because the thing is hiding in the clouds, peekaboo. And so you just have to accept the report as true or not, without major evidence. And come on, if the aliens were out there, there'd be photographs of them. There'd be real photographs. There'd be real evidence. It's ridiculous. You might as well say that the Tooth Fairy, you know, I've got a lot of oral reports that the Tooth Fairy exists. You don't believe that, do you?
That you have the reports or that the Tooth Fairy exists?
That the Tooth Fairy exists. Well, actually, you don't know, this is public radio. You might believe in the Tooth Fairy. I don't know. Anyway.
David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer whose geekiness so intimidates the men from outer space that they now make excuses not to visit planet Earth at graniteGeek.org.